Today, our guest on Piano Jazz is a fabulous bassist and a longtime friend, Eddie Gomez. He's one of the finest players who never stops growing, and I know I'll be growing right along with him today.
Well, yeah, it's great to be here, Marian. With so many memories.
I know. It's great to have you.
Yeah, I think we go back, I hate to say this, 40-some-odd years, 42 years or so, because my son was born when we were playing together back at the Strollers. I think I was all of 18 years old.
And yeah, about 18, I remember.
The Strollers was right across the street from, was it the Embers?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone remembers any of these places, but because they're gone. But there was sort of part of that East Side club scene where all these great artists at the Embers would play across the street. And the Strollers, it was such a vibrant scene back then.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There was so much going on all the time. We had Dottie Dodgen on drums.
Yes, wonderful drummer. I was the only guy in the band.
I know.
And it was terrific. We were sort of pushing the envelope back then doing that.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, thrilled to be there with both of you. It was really a treat. I learned a lot.
You know, we could talk forever about all this stuff, but I'm dying to hear you play again. Let's play some music.
Let's play, too. Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do Straight No Chaser.
Yeah.
Let's play it.
Okay. Let's have a go at it.
I think I read somewhere that you were teaching now in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I'm now an artist in residence at the Conservatory of Puerto Rico at the end of my first year, and I go down there once a month. And the jazz program, which is a graduate program, is now in its second year, and it's my first turn at the academic world, and I'm really enjoying it a lot, and I'm seeing results in the students, and it's really great. And I'm getting also invited. I think they're beginning to hear about my little academia venture, and so other schools are approaching me. But really, the conservatory in Puerto Rico is my first, you know, really my home for now. So I am enjoying it a lot. You know, it's the sun and it's an island and, you know, it's what's not to like. You know, it's a great place.
I know. It just sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
So you go once a month, but then you've all got other gigs. I mean, you've been playing with Chick Corea here and there, too. You've got to find time to play great gigs like that.
It's a logistical tightrope because I have to kind of like wiggle in and out of my responsibilities, but it's fine. It works out fine. If with a lot of premeditation and real organization, it works out just fine. It's good, and it keeps me focused. It makes me pick and choose exactly really what I want to do, and it's a good place to be. I'm having a lot of fun. That tour we did a few months ago with Chick and Ayerto was a lot of fun. And,
that must have been.
Yeah, and we did a lot of different kinds of music, too. We did some Bill Evans music. We did some of that music, Waltz for Debbie, and we did a Scott LaFaro tune, Gloria Step. And then we played some of the free stuff of Ayerto with his chanting and sounds. And then we did some of the Return to Forever type tunes, too. And so it was great. We just opened just a lot of different different directions, which I really like. Like let the music speak. And whatever
we could play a Chick Corea tune, couldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's
could
do
we
it.
Do Windows?
Why not? Yeah, that'd be fun.
Okay. Eddie and I first got together on piano jazz in 1993, and I asked him about some of the bassists that influenced him.
The very first album I bought, I think, was a Dixieland kind of record with Milt Hinton on it. And so that was my very first introduction. I love and still do love Milt's playing. And a lot of people from that era, Walter Page and Jimmy Blanton, Oscar mm-hmm. Pettiford, Ray Brown came a little later. And then my second record was A Garland of Red with Red Garland uh-huh. and Paul Chambers, Art Taylor, A.T. And Paul became a huge influence on me. Not everyone might think that, but I mean, Paul Chambers was a big, big influence on me.
Well, he was I remember listening to him a lot and actually playing with him somewhere in a jam session. And his notes were everything was so even from the bottom to the top of the bass.
Yeah, yeah. He was kind of a young phenom, and he played beautifully, supported the band, always swinging, mm-hmm. and played wonderful solos, and he just could do everything. He was really pound for pound for me, just, you know, great. And, of course, Scott LaFaro was a big influence. I said Ray Brown. I used to love to go hear Ray Brown.
I can tell you like Ray Brown because you have that really good, hard swinging time. When you play time, it's very strong. That's one thing about Ray.
Big Ray Brown fan. And so those are, you know, kind of my main guys. But, you know, I was also listening to pianists and, of course, Miles and that group. And, you know, other people, Sam Jones, I always liked with Cannonball's group mm-hmm. and Sonny Rollins. So it wasn't just bass players I was listening to. And you know, Jim Hall, Wes Montgomery, listening to those musicians.
God, there's so much going on and so much to hear. And it's never ended. You know, there's always new people coming along, new things happening. Well, look, you know, it'd be fun. Why don't you play just a bass solo? I'll lay out and listen to you. How's that?
Okay. Well, sure. I'll go
Anything,
for it.
Is this going to be like a total improvisation?
Well, little bits of. I mean, some of it is. It's a bit of an improvisation combined with some little melodies that I've worked out.
Great.
Great.
One thing I always remember, and I tell people this as sort of as a joke, really, that all the time you were with me, working with me, you wanted so much to go with Bill Evans. It was like a goal that you had and a wish that eventually that's where you would end up, was playing with Bill. And, of course, that's the way it happened.
Yeah, that was my dream. He was one of my heroes. Of course, I had others, Miles Davis and Sonny Rollins, but Bill was a particular special hero for many reasons. The trio was a wonderful showcase for a kind of dialogue and kind of certain kind of playing that I just felt very much drawn to. So how that came about was funny, because I was working with Jerry Mulligan at the Vanguard mm-hmm. in the old days when there were two groups, and Bill was the other group just by good fortune. And he heard me play and asked me to sit in. I went over to him and he complimented me on my playing and said, "Gee, why don't you sit in this week?" And I was just thrilled. I mean, if my career had ended there, right there, with just having spoken to him, it would have been just fine. Anyway, I never did sit in with him. I was just too scared to
really?
Approach him and say, you know, "You remember you asked me to." Anyway, a few weeks later, he called me and asked me to go on tour with him, and of course I did, and everything worked out. I stayed with Bill for 11 years. Bill was very supportive. In the early going, I was, of course, nervous, very nervous, and scared to death.
And he was very, very supportive the whole time and would always inspire me to just kind of play, do my thing, take some chances. Don't worry about who any of these predecessors were. I mean, I would be thinking of Scott LaFaro, my God, and, you know, that whole thing. And it was really a rough time for me. It took me years before I could really feel relaxed and not think about anything but just focusing in on the music.
It's funny. I never would have known that. I mean, of course, you hit it very well because you always played. Everything came off with the utmost confidence, you know, like you just kept it. Nobody would know you were nervous.
Well, it was an illusion, I assure you. I was really scared all the time. It took me a while before I really relaxed and started just playing and not thinking about anything else, but just trying to just make some music.
Who was the drummer then when you started?
There were several. We started out with Joe Hunt.
Oh, yes. You worked with me, too.
Yeah, yeah, who had been working with Stan Getz prior to that. And then it was Arnie Wise for a little bit, and Jack DeJohnette worked with the trio for a while. Philly Joe worked with the trio for a while.
Boy.
Marty Morrell, Elliot Zygmunt, a lot of great players. And, of course, guys, Elvin would come in and play. Tony Williams would come in and play. So it was wonderful. Those 11 years for me were just great learning years, you know, being around Bill and being around his art and his artistry and his aesthetic was just wonderful.
Well, we should play something. You taught me, a lot of tunes, but this is one I always remember, and I can't think of the guy that wrote it.
That would be some time ago.
Yes, some time ago.
I don't remember who wrote
it's
that
a
either.
It's a long, long name,
yeah.
But it's such a pretty tune.
Yeah,
let's play that.
Hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast. Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.